Good evening. I appreciate everyone being out tonight. I appreciate the opportunity to worship our Lord together with you and to sing songs of joy and praise to Him with encouragement to each other. I appreciate the songs, Brian. Those go along very well with the topic that I want to bring about tonight. A couple weeks ago, I did part one. If you remember, daily Bible reading. Daily Bible reading. The first part that we looked at is why. Why do we need to have a habit, an addiction to reading the Bible every day? So I tried to go through some scriptures to look at. George Washington said it's impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. And we looked at a lot of presidents of past that looked at the Holy Scriptures as a guide to their life. And then we looked at scriptures and the people in there of how they used the scriptures daily and how important it was to them. And so we looked at why read the Bible. There's a couple points that we brought out. One, the Word saves us. We need the Word. Without the Word, we cannot be saved. And then the Word can comfort us. It comforts us in our life here on the earth. It definitely comforts us if we maintain a right pattern to the Scriptures in the eternity, that it will give us that joy and that home and comfort in heaven with our Lord. If we haven't developed a good habit of a daily Bible reading, then we have already developed a bad habit of not reading the Bible daily. If we haven't got a good foundation of reading the Scriptures daily, then we've already failed, and we already have that bad habit of not reading. And so, today's lesson is how. Kind of a follow-up to that first one as to why. The how is, how do we maintain it? How do we begin creating a habit of reading daily? Again, I mentioned in the first one that this is something that I failed at. I'm not perfect. I don't have all the right answers to this question. I don't have a good habit of reading the Scriptures daily. I don't have an answer for a good Bible reading schedule. I have failed. But I wanted to do better. And this is kind of what spurred me on to studying about this, and it eventually turned into a couple lessons. But it really started with me, and how can I do better? How can I be a better servant to the Scriptures, to reading them, to putting them on my mind, as that Scripture reading that Scott read for us, to write them on our heart. I want to come back to that passage in Deuteronomy as an invitation. Realize how important it was that they knew the law. They had to know the law if they wanted to conquer that land, if they wanted to go forward, if God said he would give them everywhere that their feet walked would prosper. But they had to know, they had to have the knowledge of the law. They had to write them on their hearts, write them on their doorposts, write them on their houses. It had to be a major part of their life. This had to be something that they could not live without. And that's the definition of a habit. Something that you cannot live without. Something that you have to have. So what's a habit? What's a habit? A definition popularly used, a regular tendency or practice. A regular tendency or practice. Especially hard to give up. You're addicted to it. We often relate the word habit to a negative sense. I think that's how we normally see it. You have a bad habit. Some bad habits. I'll probably use some of these in my speech tonight. And like. Nail biting. Playing with your hair. Snacking late at night. Avoiding eye contact when speaking to someone. Too much TV. Overspending on the budget. I'm guilty of that one. Eating too much fast food. Not using sunscreen. I'm guilty of that one. Picking your nose. Smoking. Drinking. Speeding. Failing to do what you say you are going to do. I think we all get the drift of bad habits. I think we could name and continue that list. Paul's language, I think, would describe someone as unfaithful. I think that's how he would say, if you have a bad habit, you are unfaithful. You do not continue to do what you say you're going to do. You are unfaithful in that sense. How about positive habits? Can we name them? Exercise more. Reading. Flossing. Getting to bed early. Eating breakfast. Surprises me how many people skip breakfast, the most important meal of the day. Saving money. Eating more fruits. Eating more vegetables. Waking up without hitting the snooze button. Seatbelts. Drinking water. Paying attention to people when they talk to you. The list can go on there as well. Remember, a habit is something that we depend upon. Something that we can't live without. Obviously, we want to abandon the bad list that we looked at and put on the good. These lists that we just described are, you know, building these habits within our physical lives. What about our spiritual? What about our spiritual life? Are there habits, good or bad, that we have that affect our spiritual walk with God? I want us to consider for a few moments forsaking the flesh, the acts of the flesh, and working along with the Spirit to transform our minds. Romans 12, 1 through 2, a passage that we studied a few weeks ago that kind of hit home when we were reading through that. Therefore I urge you, Romans 12, 1 and 2, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living, holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And what hit home for habits, and that idea is in verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, putting off the bad, putting on the new. Getting rid of those bad fleshly habits. Putting on the good spiritual habits. Renewing your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Don't let our minds conform to the patterns of this world, but instead transform our mind to do God's will. To do things that please our Lord. The idea of conforming and transforming, again, brings about the idea of getting rid of those bad habits, putting on those godly habits. Spiritual habits are definitely something that we can't live without. Definitely something we can't live without. Good spiritual habits. Are we dependent on praying regularly? Are we spending time talking with God? Do we worship in a way that we can't live without worshiping? Are we addicted to serving others? Do we get uneasy feelings of anxiousness when we can't give to someone in need? Do we get stressed when we don't spend an hour a day meditating on His law and His scriptures? Have we developed any of these positive spiritual habits? Are we addicted to any of these? I want to look at how. In this lesson, I want to look at two points. How to create a good habit, a good addiction. Again, I don't have all the answers for that, but I'm going to take a stab at it. And then the last part, give you my plan for going into the new year as to how I want to create a good habit of reading the Scriptures daily. And invite any to follow along with me in that. To talk about how to create a good habit, I want to look at two scriptures. The first one's in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 10. If you want to go there, we'll read that. Galatians 6, 7 through 10. The other passage in a moment is James 1, 22 through 25. I think both these passages point a little bit to the idea of how to create a good habit. And gives us some ideas of what some of these habits are that we need to be creating. Turn to Galatians 6, verse 7 through 10. I'll start in verse 6. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he also will reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Reaping what we sow. The passage points out two places that we are sowing to, that we are planting seed to. Either we're planting seed to the flesh, or we're planting seed to the Spirit. If a farmer wants to harvest barley, he has to plant the barley seed. There are some habits that farmers get into whenever they prepare that soil and they prepare the seed and they apply the fertilizer. There's a routine that they go through every year in tilling up that ground and a process that they go through in order to reap what they're sowing. I think an easy way of looking at this passage is through the eyes of maintaining habits. And think about these as habits of the flesh or habits of the Spirit. And are we sowing to these things in order to reap them again, continuing in them? When we say we are sowing or planting to the flesh or Spirit, are we saying we continue to indulge or spend our time doing these things? Something we can't live without, either good or bad habits. So the habits of the flesh, are we using our property to indulge in vanity? Are we continually over again and again putting our time, our efforts, our money into vanity? Galatians 5, 19 through 21 are maybe some similar habits, acts of the flesh that we may be indulging in, that we may be continuing to do, and things eventually that we will determine we can't live without because we're so addicted to them. Galatians 5, 19 through 21 says, "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousies, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." The idea of practicing, continually doing these things, a bad habit. Notice what it says about those that have these bad habits. They will reap what they plant. If you sow to the flesh, of the flesh you will reap the corruption. If you continue to put your time and money into the flesh, your thoughts into the flesh, you will create a habit of reaping from the flesh. You will get more bad habits, ones that are not related to God. Eventually, you'll receive death and punishment for these. Well, the opposite of that is habits of the Spirit. And that's found in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. "Well, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Habits of the Spirit, are we using our property to indulge in spiritual matters? To continually, to want to do it over and over again in a way that we can't live without these things? Do we have habits that will lead us closer to godliness? The fruits of the Spirit. If we're planting good habits in doing these things and similar actions, we will keep in step with the Spirit and will not be able to live daily without doing them. They will become a part of our life. They will become habits that lead to godliness. We eventually will reap, and the idea of sowing, what are you sowing to? You sow to the Spirit, you eventually reap eternal life because of the good habits that you have maintained while living on this earth. An example is back in chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. of Galatians. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. And verse 10 is an example of another good habit that we can have. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who are of the household of faith. Do good to all people. Encouragement is in verse 9 there. It says, don't become weary in doing this. Don't lose sight of your goal. Don't lose hope. It is not easy to create a good habit. And so he gives us encouragement when you're trying to put on and to create these fruits of the Spirit. Don't lose hope. Continue. Push on. Maintain. Let's turn over to James chapter 1 and look at this passage. We'll have another kind of summarize these passages up in a moment. James 1, 22 through 25. James 1, verse 22. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. I think this is a strong passage to consider. Two points to bring out in this passage. One, do what the Word says to do. Do what the Lord is asking us to do. Don't just read it, but do it. And two, there's an urgency to continue looking, persevering in the mirror. Seeing your image in comparison to God's law. Verse 22 says, you know, the first point, be a doer of the word. And we'll touch a little bit more on this on some suggestions that I'll have for us all to use while reading the scriptures. But to not only listen to what the word says, but to eventually do it. To put it on your heart, as the passage read in Deuteronomy. To write it on your heart. To be a part of it. And this is so important in daily Bible reading. It does no good to read it and then to toss it to the side. And to just create a checklist where we want to read this chapter, this many verses a day, and then completely forget what we were reading and why we were reading it. But the second point, I think maybe more important, is how we create a habit. Looking in the mirror. Looking in the mirror is read there in verse 23 and on. When we see our image in a mirror, we notice all of our distinctions, whether good or bad. We notice our blemishes. We notice our defects, our beauty marks. It's right there before us. It's right there before us. We see all of it. Especially when the light is bright. When we turn away from that mirror, those images begin to fade a little bit in our mind. They're not quite as distinct. They're not quite as prevalent. Out of sight, out of mind. We forget about the scars, about the defects that we saw. We don't have any uneasiness after a while of not seeing our image. We forget. We forget that we are flawed. The idea of creating a good habit, if we want to create a good habit, a good spiritual habit, we need that mirror in front of us at all times. Because it's going to force us to see our defects in comparison to God's law. And how we can be saved from them. We need that mirror in front of us so that we never forget how blemished and how defected we are. We are encouraged then to correct ourselves, to fix them. We are encouraged to continue in the law. by constantly correcting ourselves for the sake of serving God, not the sake of becoming more beautiful. We in turn will over time create good spiritual habits like daily Bible readings and constant prayers in our life and serving others. Our meditation on scriptures is necessary to be closer to God. In time, we'll create a good habit of spending more time in front of that mirror. And spending more time. That mirror is God's law, God's statutes, God's commandments. When we spend our time before God, before His law, it will force us, it will encourage us to want to do better, to serve Him, knowing that we are lowly. It will humble us, and we will want to continue to serve our Lord. I think the emphasis of looking in this mirror is not just looking at it. Not just looking at it. As the first part in verse 22, you got to do what the Word says. We have to continue or persevere in observance of the law. And I think this will go a long ways in creating any good spiritual habits. The spending time in front, comparing ourselves to the Scriptures and how we can do better in serving our Lord. So Galatians 6, the first passage, says that we need to prepare. We need to prepare for the harvest. We need to spend our time investing, indulging in spiritual things, not fleshly. How do we create good spiritual habits? Well, we start by recognizing there is an eternity in mind. That one day, there will be a harvest. And we need to start by doing good to other people, as pointed out in the last part of that passage. And James, that we just looked at, says we need to look in the mirror daily. By looking at our reflection in the Word of God, comparing how we measure up, we will be encouraged to constantly observe it. This will in turn create a good habit of persevering, of continuing to practice what the law says. Kind of moving to the second part of the lesson. In just a moment, I'll give you what I plan to do. It seems fairly simple for the next year and how I want to create a habit of, or how I want to go about reading the Scriptures daily. And these are some ideas that I found encouraging to me. Some suggestions on making Bible reading a daily habit. Make it pleasurable. Make it pleasurable. I think this is why many people fail at exercise. Maybe it hurts. Maybe it's painful. Maybe they're going about it the wrong way. Maybe they don't realize how the different muscle groups work together and they're not doing it right. It's not fun. It's not fun to wake up that early and to spend that much time exercising. And so you have to find a way to make it enjoyable, to make it pleasurable, to listen to the right music, or to, how to split up the time when exercising, something I haven't done in a while. When someone goes about it the wrong way or it becomes painful, it most likely won't stick. I think the same applies to Bible reading. Don't make it a checklist. Don't create a checklist where you have to read a certain amount by a certain time. Or you have to read through the entire Bible in one year. Instead, make it useful. Make it pleasurable. The second point, start slow. Start slow. I think, even though it would be admirable to read the entire Bible in a year, that's what I've tried, and I've not been able to do that. Most people fail, as Scott mentioned in announcements last week, at Leviticus or Exodus, when it becomes hard, it becomes difficult to read and to understand and to follow, and there's not as much application to me today when reading through the laws of old. Even though there is a lot of application, it's hard to understand it. It becomes difficult to make it a habit. Do new runners begin running a full marathon? Do new runners even begin running a half marathon? I would guess no. They would start small. If you're new to running, you would start small. Maybe just jogging. Maybe just walking a mile. Maybe that's how you would start it. I think this can be a habit that, start small. Make it enjoyable. Make it a habit where you can tackle it. Where you can accomplish what you set out to do. So I plan to apply this in my reading next year. I want to read through the New Testament. That's my goal next year, is to read through the New Testament. To mix in some Old Testament passages that would go along with that reading. Instead of tackling the whole Bible at once. I think it's important to create a habit first. If you start small, start with something easy. Easier maybe to understand and to read through. And you spend a lot of time doing it over and over again, then eventually you won't be able to live without it. And then you'll begin reading the Old Testament as well. Important to create a habit of reading daily instead of making a checklist to go through the Bible in a year. And this would require no more than usually a chapter a day, maybe a little bit more in doing that. Point three, begin with a prayer. Psalm 119 and verse 18 says, "Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law." And this doesn't have to be the exact prayer that you use, but open a prayer before you begin reading the scriptures. Asking that you can see the scriptures clearly. James 1:21 says, "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls." Pray that God will allow you to be receptive and have a receptive frame of mind when reading. Begin with a prayer. Point four, read slowly and carefully. We want to comprehend what we're reading. We don't want to just glaze over it. This is probably one of the more difficult things for me to do. I do not comprehend, I don't retain if I read it silently to myself. I have to read it out loud. I have to read it out loud. Don't read so slow that you fall asleep. Psalms 1:1-2. I can't read in the evenings. Any time after about 6 or 7, if I start reading, I can't do it. Psalm 1:1-2. The passage that we read in lesson 1, the first part, as to why. "How blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." Read slow, read carefully, comprehend it. Point five, make use of Bible study aids. There are maps, there are dictionaries that go along that will help you understand maybe more clearly what words are trying to say, and to make sure we always keep it in context. Use a dictionary to look up words. Look at the Bible maps when reading through Acts and reading through Paul's journeys and Jesus' journeys. I've heard it said, don't observe the Passover by passing over words that you don't understand. Names that you don't know. Places you're unfamiliar with. Take a moment and look it up. Use your references in your Bible, the chain references. This maybe goes more into studying than reading. And I think that if we start slow and we start by reading, eventually we'll become good students of the Bible. Point six, discuss it with others. If there are any interested here in doing this with me, I would encourage that. But make it a good habit of talking to others about what you've read. If you're on the same page and reading through the same scriptures at the same time, share those discoveries with each other. What passages stuck out to you, or what words were important to you as you read through it? What impacted you the most when you read through that? And there should be a lot that impacts us if you're reading through the New Testament. Point seven, take notes. I'm hoping to get a journaling Bible at some point, maybe before the new year begins, but a Bible that has open spots on the margins to write your notes down as you read through it. You can journal along with it and write down the things that stick out to you. It's not a bad idea. It will stick with you more if you write it down. Point eight, read with intent to do it. And this is the point we looked at in James 1:22. To do what the Word says. You're going to be wasting your time if you don't make it a part of your life. True joy comes in the application of God's Word. James 1 and verse 25. True joy comes in the application of God's Word. And then end with a prayer. You begin with it and you end with it. Back over in Psalms 119. Verses 5 and 6. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all your commandments. Verse 10 and 11. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. Pray that God will allow you to do and give you time to do what you have studied and what you have read. I believe if reading through the scriptures on a daily basis, that there will be a good addiction to it over time. And we will not be able to live without it. I hope that this has been as much encouragement as the songs that we sang to each other. That we will want to begin reading our scriptures if we haven't already, daily, or if you already have, that you will continue in that. That you will push on, that you will maintain that good habit. Or if you failed as I have, that you will pick it up again. That you will become a student of God's Word. I mentioned in the first lesson how shameful would it be to stand before judgment not having ever read the Scriptures. Not knowing all of what God had given us to know. I think there's so much more to gain from reading the Scriptures, and there's so much to lose by not doing it if we don't have that good habit of reading through them. So here's my plan. I'm not going to condone any of words on ownit365.com, but it's a passage, it's a website that I came across. It has some different Bible plans, and that's the Bible plan I'm going to try to go with in reading in the new year. Just kind of gives you a little bit of organization to go through it. If you use the YouVersion Bible app, which I use on my phone, that's they can allow you to download it through that app as well. So if you want it in that sort of form, but you can also go on this website and download print off a plan to go with. The one I want to go with is New Testament Plus. And so it has a mostly New Testament. You spend 6 days a week reading through. 5 days are spent in New Testament, and then 1 day in the Old Testament, and then 1 day break. That Old Testament usually is a passage that would go along with that week's reading. And so it just kind of outlines it. Basically, the reason I want to use a plan is just so I have something to spread out throughout the year, something that I can look at and study on a daily basis. And so I will throw that out there. That's what I plan to go with. I think back over in Deuteronomy as I close this lesson. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Scott read for us. I think, looking at the passage that we read tonight and that we've looked at, there's an urgency for you to know the Scriptures. And once you know them, there's an urgency for you to act upon them. You have to respond to the gospel. In Deuteronomy 11, we see that, you know, he said in verse 18, "Impress these words of mine on your heart and on your soul. Bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontals on your forehead." Verse 21, "So that your days and days of your sons may be multiplied." The land that he was going to give them, that he would give them, it was all hinging upon the fact that they knew the Scriptures, that they studied them daily, that they had them written on their minds, on their doorposts, on their mirrors in their bathroom. They had passages that they would see every single day. When we spend time and we know the Scriptures every single day, there is a response that will naturally come to that. Because we believe them. We will, when we put them into our life, as they were encouraged to do, so that their land and their people would be multiplied, God would give them, be with them every step of the way, every where that their foot went, that He would bless it. We can get comfort, as was looked at in the first lesson. There is comfort in knowing the Scriptures and putting them on our heart. If you're here tonight and you haven't put on Christ, if you haven't responded to the knowledge that you have of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, that He came to this world to save you, that He died for you, for me. If you haven't responded to the fact that He asked you to become one of His children, God asked you to become one of His children, to put on Christ, to be baptized, to forsake the flesh, the habits of the flesh, and put on the habits of the Spirit, to reap the good habits. God is begging you to come to Him, to be saved, to have that comfort. If you're here tonight and you haven't put on Christ, or if you have fallen away, if there's anything we can do to encourage you, please come as we stand and as we sing.